Yeah, yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome to the Sin City Indie Report. I am Sin City Steve, being joined, we'll go ahead and say it, as always, by my boy Red Jed. How the hell are you doing, Jed?
Woo-hoo! How the hell are you, man? This is Red Jed coming to you, loving and living color, baby!
Hell yeah, man. You know, Red Jed, a quick Vegas fact. The famous Welcome to Las Vegas sign was never actually trademarked. Did you know that?
No shit. Which, I had no idea.
I mean, technically, huh. It means anyone can copy it. Kind of really? Like half the finishers on the indie scene.
Right?
Anyway, let's jump right in, man. For those of you guys that maybe are stumbling upon this show, we're going to talk about independent wrestling, the hits, the misses, what we liked, what we didn't care for so much. But above all else, we want to shine a spotlight on the independent wrestling scene today. And what a better way to do it than just diving right in. And quite frankly, one of my favorite indie promotions that's not based here in Las Vegas, Nevada, is House of Glory Wrestling. And Jed, I got to tell you, man, this show, House of Glory's Glory at the Globe, took place on May 1st from the Globe Theater in Los Angeles. And dude, from top to bottom, this show fucking delivered.
Absolutely.
Right out of the gate. I mean, the opening contest, you had Mike Bailey and the Amazing Red who went out there and tore the fucking house down, man. What did you think about that?
No kidding. Great opener. Probably out of any of the shows I've seen this week, the best opener. Anything. I mean, and that's including even AEW, WWE. I mean, you name it. This was top notch. Love the venue as well. I know PWG did some shows near the back end of the run of the PWG at the Globe Theater. It is, cosmetically speaking, it just has that look to it. Really unique look, really unique aura, man. The crowd was in it. Just loved this show from top to bottom. And that Red and Mike Bailey match just like started it off with a literal bang.
Absolutely, man. And you know, one thing that's not listed on this match graphic, on this card graphic that I've got up for the video watchers, was a tag team match featuring two friends of the show, 5150, Danny Limelight and Slice Boogie, two guys that have been on the Vegas Bad Boys podcast, and they defeated the main event, who, you know, they're a mainstay, or at least were a mainstay in House of Glory Wrestling.
Yeah. There seems to be a fray in the main event. So there we go. Yeah, a lot of interesting names on this card beyond what we saw in the graphic. Definitely a really robust roster, man, that House of Glory brings around the globe now. Something
Hell
else.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. And as you mentioned there, you know, the main event, it looks like as if they're going to be splitting up. So, you know, they Jay Lyon and Midas Black are going to be doing some things on their own. Yeah. So, we'll see what they get into. But I got to say, man, Vegas connections, Thunder Rosa, again, friend of the show, and Brittany Brooks, somebody who is now billing herself from Las Vegas, Nevada. Obviously, you know, you can chalk that up to being a change in mindset, if you will. For the Phoenix crowds. Very solid match between these two ladies as well.
Yeah, man. She worked really, a really solid heel role in this match. I thought, very, very, she's coming around and doing well in that role. Yeah, solid back and forth match. She is really climbing the ladder slowly but surely. And she's, I'm surprised that TNA hasn't scooped her up, frankly.
Dude, I don't know why, but it's only a matter of time until Brittany Brooks signs with a major national company. Absolutely. And, you know, we wish her all the best. Absolutely, man. Huge amount of untapped talent.
You know it all the way.
Yeah, man. And, you know, elsewhere on the show, we did have the match between Zilla Fatu and Lance Anoa'i. Yeah. And this was a hard hitting match, man. As you would expect from these two, they beat the shit out of each other.
They were not fucking around, period. Most physical match of the show. Easily. Oh, yeah. I mean, by a million miles. Yeah. Real good stuff.
Absolutely, man. And rounding out that show, we did have a stellar match for the House of Glory Heavyweight Championship as Charles Mason defeated Jonathan Gresham in just under 30 minutes. So I believe it was about 27 or 28 minutes in total length. These two guys went out there and they delivered, bro.
Yeah, man. Charles Mason, man, he's got quite a versatile, cachet, I would say. You know, he can work that technical style with Gresham, and yet you can see him in GCW matches sometimes really getting quite out there on the extreme end. So
absolutely
very versatile on that guy, man. Versatility is key with Charles Mason.
Absolutely. And, you know, versatility is an amazing trait to have, regardless of, you know, which company that you're working with, because obviously you're going to be asked to, you know, have many different roles, and the ability to show every little thing that he can do, especially at this stage of the game. Excellent, excellent future ahead for sure.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Sky's the limit.
For sure. So let's turn the page here just a little bit. And let's talk about GCW Express Lane. This show took place on May 1st, and this was a bit of a collaboration show as they were hanging out with Maryland Championship Wrestling, and they were, I believe, the home base of MCW. And dude, this show had some solid stuff in it. You had Gringo Loco and Vengador defeating the Heavenly Assassins. Anybody who knows me knows how I have the utmost respect for Gringo Loco and everything he can accomplish in that ring. The guy is just gifted. I've said it in almost every episode because he's been on every fucking show, at least one show every week that we've profiled.
Yeah.
And dude, the guy, no matter the setting, tends to deliver, and he's bringing Vengador along with him. So he's setting a great example for the future for that guy.
Yeah, they had between those two talents, particularly, they had quite the weekend, both in tag match. And then I believe the following evening, we'll talk about it a little bit later, they had a one-on-one match at the ECW arena.
They absolutely did.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. We're gonna dive into that here in just a minute. I do have to say one thing that I found very interesting was there was a street fight between Viperous and Kerry Morton. Now, dude, Kerry Morton is becoming a guilty pleasure of mine just because he's such an asshole. Like, he plays that character so fucking well, and it doesn't matter if he's in GCW or hanging out with the Juggalos and Juggalo Championship Wrestling, wherever this guy is. Amazing future ahead of him for sure.
Yeah, man.
And he clearly has the pedigree. So
undoubtedly. Yeah. Yeah. He's going to go somewhere. He already is. I mean, he's a statement maker in multiple promotions right now, including the NWA, which I'll talk about in a little bit as well. Man, he's all over the place. Very similar to, like, you know, we were just mentioning Gringo Loco, man. Yeah. It's Kerry Morton's at every corner and then some of the country. So
It's awesome to see, man. Now, one thing that was interesting. Now, mind you, I just mentioned that this match was a street fight. and Viperous defeated Kerry Morton by disqualification.
Oh, wow. Okay, then. Well, teach your own, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess. When you beat up a referee, that tends to happen, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's a proverbial line is crossed.
Elsewhere, man, on this show, we did have a six-man tag between Kerry's dad, Ricky, as well as Hall of Famer, as we would find out the very next day, Ruckus, and Don Freeze taking on Atticus Koger, Christian Napier, and KJ Orso.
Oh,
this,
wow.
I'll say it, man. This was my favorite match on this show, despite it being a 10-minute match, just bang, bang, boom. It was good. It was, everybody got a little bit of a shine. You got some nostalgia from Ricky Morton and from Ruckus, and you got Don Freeze doing his thing, showing exactly why he is a one of one, man. I mentioned last week that I wasn't familiar with this guy's game, and dude, I was sent some videos, and yeah, everything that I've seen, this guy is awesome to watch.
Yeah, I think they're gonna give him a bit of a push ahead in the GCW shows here coming up. I mean, the fact that he's in there with Atticus,
yeah,
is a sign of maybe something coming ahead.
Absolutely. I like the way you're thinking. And that was not the only six-man tag on this show. As in the main event, it was Matt Tremont and the Rejects, who they had branded as the OGs, defeating Jimmy fucking Lloyd, Lil Sicko, and Nino Extremo, who is the the new school guys. And Tremont and the Rejects, John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley, picking up the win in the main event. And for once, Matt Tremont not shedding a bucket of blood on that night.
Unbelievable. Wow. Very rare you see that.
Damn. No kidding, man. But now another show that that GCW did was the very next night. And you did happen to catch this one.
Yeah.
So let's talk about GCW One Night Only, which was live from the ECW or the 2300 Arena.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of nostalgia feels in this one.
Hell yeah.
They were going to the hilt with it. There was definitely some homaging of the ECW days. There was even, I believe it was Janela, had come out to Sabu's old type of entrance. That was very cool. With the
drone. Was really cool to see.
So, yeah, that was very professionally done.
Yeah.
I thought the video packages on this show as well in general, just the production was fucking really fucking tight, man.
GCW's got that on lock. I think that's one thing that they don't get enough credit for, because obviously everybody sees the ultra violence and, you know, the blood and the craziness.
Right.
But they do an extremely good job of building matches through video packages, which I think is something that is sorely missed in a lot of independent promotions, but GCW is doing it right, brother.
Yeah, man. Particularly, I think the one that stood out to me on this show, not only the video package, but frankly, the match that stood out to me as well was the GCW title match with Atticus Koger and Marcus Mathers.
Dude,
holy,
those guys brought it.
They got me. I thought Marcus Mathers was getting the title there. I mean, it was, and he was bleeding like a stuck pig, as the saying goes. man, what a fucking match, man.
Dude, I mean, what, it was like 25 minutes, but it was, I don't think there's any other way that I can say this. I went into this match, and obviously through the video package, I was pretty stoked for the match, but it over-delivered on such a crazy scale that I had no idea. But those guys fucking killed it.
Yeah, man. Marcus Mathers stepped up his game tenfold in this match. I mean, he's always been hovering there. This took it to another level, and I'll be interested to see where they go with him from here, because he was made, I felt like, to a degree in this match. I mean, they really got behind him, and rightfully so. I mean, worked his ass off in this match.
He absolutely did, man. Mm-hmm. He absolutely did. And, you know, one thing that I made mention of previously, but it holds absolutely true. Who would have ever thought that the best thing to happen to KJ Orso was for him to lose his mask?
No shit. Yeah, the year in KJ Orso's life, man. And I just love even the notion of the crowd even mentioning Fuego. Just yes. Sets them off, man. It's like, not going there. Fuck all y'all. Forget it. You know, we're in a different time zone now, motherfuckers.
Hell yeah, dude.
So, yeah, good stuff.
You know, we got to mention it. We got to talk about the match that actually went on last and main evented this show, which was a death match between Nick fucking Gage and Bear Bronson.
Yeah, man. Straight up.
Talk about beating the shit out of each other. They were cutting the shit out of each other with every possible object that you could have seen.
Oh, man. There was a gusset involved in this
match. Oh, God.
Like ripped Bear Bronson's forehead, gashed to the max. Hard to, and then the pizza cutter moments that the fans could not get enough of. Holy shit. Yeah. This was a bloodbath all the way. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Whew.
Yeah. And the crazy thing too, keep in mind, is at the very beginning of the show, there was a 6-way ultraviolet match. Which you mentioned the gusset plate. Obviously, there was a gusset plate used in this match as well, as Matt Tremont, shocker, took the gusset plate right on the head, right at the very beginning of the match. And who else was in the match? But basically, everyone else who was in the six man the previous night, you had Matt Tremont in there, you had John Wayne Murdoch, Lil Sicko, Nino Extremo, Reed Bentley. And subbing in for Jimmy fucking Lloyd was Slade. Matt Tremont retains his title. Shocker there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody that signifies deathmatch or ultraviolent wrestling as much as Matt Tremont in 2026. And no offense meant to anyone else by any means. It's just that guy has created such a brand for himself. It's unreal.
Yeah, the passion, man. It's all about the passion with him too, man. You can feel it. He just in what he's doing, it has meaning. He can connect with the crowd on a different level than most can. Even after this match, I thought what was really cool too was a couple of those guys, Lil Crazy or whatever his name was, and that Nino guy.
Yeah, Lil Sicko. Yeah,
They really stood out in the match. They were bumping like motherfuckers all over the place. And really shining, you know, as best they could. And Tremont, like, straight up put him over after the match. You know, raised their hands. Like, look at these guys. These guys are hitting the fucking shit right now, you know?
Which is awesome to see.
Yeah.
You know, showing that, hey, take notice of these guys. And this, I think that between the show the previous night and then this show, that really did shine a spotlight on those two guys specifically.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be something they're going to follow up on for sure. I mean, they made a point of it.
Definitely. And as we had mentioned from the previous night, we did have Gringo Loco defeating Vengador. And these guys went out there. Mm-hmm. They did the damn thing, they say.
They sure did, man. They were... That every time Gringo Loco does that top rope spinning, like power bombs, drops.
Yep.
Whew, every time it fucking happens, I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to break his neck. Like, how are they going to pull this? And somehow every time it hits, and it's just like,
An
impressive spot every single moment.
Every time. Every time.
Yeah.
And elsewhere on the show, you know, you had Viperous defeating Joey Janela. And it's definitely telling. They showed in the video package immediately before this match where Viperous was given a spot in the Tournament of Survival from John Wayne Murdoch. So that's a seal of approval right there as well. So you love to see these guys that were in this tag team the night before calling themselves the OGs. given some spotlight to some new talent, some new names, newer names, I should say. Vipress has been killing it for a long time, but she's definitely stepped up her game since she went full Chola.
Yeah, man, for sure. And man, there was one bump in this match that just, I had to turn my head on. I'm like, how the fuck did she not like be paralyzed from the spot where she took the, they were on the top rope and the Uranagi, I can't remember what you'd call it, but basically she landed right on her head, right on top of a row of chairs. What it was, the I think it was like a back suplex kind of thing, but it just folded her up.
It was a crazy suplex off the top, man.
Yeah, it was basically the same type of suplex that I believe Kyle Fletcher and Moxley did back at Royal Grand. That oohed and odd everybody at that time. This one even oohed me a little bit more and odd me a lot more. The way she landed on that fucking chair, man. I'm like, oh, my neck. Ah! Lord have mercy.
Oh, shit.
God.
And then, obviously, you know, we did have some lighthearted stuff in here too. We had, Gabby Forza defeating Tony Deppen. But before the match, Tony broke character a bit and, you know, put a spotlight on mental health. And I think that that's something that, not necessarily in professional wrestling, but us as a society, we do need to shine more of a light on mental health. And, you know, for someone like Tony Deppen to make that, you know, to actually vocalize that and put that out there, I think that took a lot of balls.
It did, man. And it's, I want to see more of it, man, because I think the truth of the matter is a lot of us to deal with some mental health issues, we come to wrestling, man. We deep dive into wrestling. I know if I have a rough day, man, if I'm feeling it mentally, I just need to zone out for a while and catch some wrestling. And hey, it's chill, man. It's working. So doing the damn
thing. Hell yeah, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Wrestling is the cure all for seemingly for everything.
Right.
But rounding out this show was the 8-man tag team match with legendary names in this match, dude. You had B-Boy, friend of the podcast, Greg Excellent, Nate Webb, Spider Nate Webb, Ruckus, who was inducted into the 2300 Arena Hall of Fame, versus Jimmy Lloyd, Junie Underwood, Ryan O'Neal, and Terry Yaki. This match ended up being a no contest, but dude, it was just, it was a fun 10 minutes.
Yeah, new school versus old school basically was the gimmick on this match, and very fitting for, you know, where they were at and this theme of the show, you know, one night stand, almost as a token to the ECW events and those nostalgia bolts and nostalgia jolts, you know, that was what this was essentially for the show.
Absolutely. And you know, the only thing that we didn't talk about on here was, you know, Manders crushing Christian Napier, but again, they're keeping Manders strong.
Yeah.
You know, I would not be surprised if Manders actually takes that title off of Atticus at the show in Iowa coming up.
Yeah. I'm wondering, cause they're really selling that show in Des Moines. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Manders has a long history in that area as well. I know he's a big star on the Wrestling Revolver shows, and they're big in Iowa as well. They do semi-monthly, I think every other month there at least, or something, it certainly feels like. So it's definitely got a following in the Iowa area.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And so one thing that we'll do is we'll actually just talk a little bit about NWA Power, bro.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk about that debut and those episodes, man. Dude, okay. 275,000 viewers on Comet.
I can't believe it, man. I'm happy to hear it, man. It's a great start for them. And I'll be honest, man, I haven't watched the NWA in quite some time. I kind of fell out of it for a while. The content was just kind of unentertaining and just kind of there for quite some time. But I thought, what the hell? They're on Comet. Comet's available on multiple platforms. I know I get it on my YouTube TV, and pleasantly surprised to see them get a spot, you know, weekly spot. So
hell yeah.
Myself, what the hell? I'm gonna give them a shot again, and glad I did, man. The first episode particularly was pretty good, man. Really hooked me. I have to say, for the first episode, there was some stuff in there that really caught my attention. There was a title switch. They're getting really deep in and putting in and promoting the Crockett Cup. So that's a big focus right now with the NWA product. The 40th anniversary of the Crockett Cup. Now, normally we'd see the Crockett Cup in like a pay-per-view format where it'd be like a one-night type of tournament. Now they've decided to kind of spread it out a little bit over multiple episodes of Power. So we're going to be following that on an episodic basis with this tournament. And essentially, one big piece of this with this first episode was establishing the last piece of the opening round of the Crockett Cup with quite a booking scenario. I have to give credit to William Patrick Corgan on this one. I thought the way this was booked was very intriguing. So it opened up with a wild card match, which would be essentially like a qualifier match for the Crockett Cup between, I can't remember who the one team was, but the particular team that kind of was highlighted on this show overall, that started in this match was the Titans of Calamity, which are the All Japan Tag Team Champions. I've really never seen these guys before, but I was impressed, man. They had three matches on this one episode of Power, the first episode on Comet. So they were really pushing these guys hard, and they came in essentially as a wild card team, as the number 16 seed in this tournament. But like I said, AJPW Tag Champions. My cat is scratching me in the back. He said, what are you doing, Red Jack? Come on, baby. Come on. But yeah, the Titans of Calamity. So this is Talus. And then the other guy is Ren Inabe, Japanese worker, who looks awfully, not facially as much, but the look of him and the costume and the aura of him is like just right out of Kazuchika Okada. It's uncanny.
Looking at this graphic, and yeah, from what I see on the, you know, on his jacket and the hairstyle, I can totally see that.
Yeah, it's like the dude's cosplaying Okada. Doesn't necessarily have his moveset, but he has kind of his same, I don't know what you call it, like just the way he moves around the ring and stuff like that. It's very similar to Okada. But these guys are giants. They're both tall as fuck. They're like the next generation of the skyscrapers, I consider them almost. Won a qualifier match. And then this was interesting. So they won this qualifier match, and they immediately took on another team. Still in a wild card competition. These were two Texas workers that they were featuring. And then they pretty much squashed that team. So they basically took out two tag teams right from the get-go on the show to really establish them. And then the main event of this show was the same team, Titans of Calamity, against the number one seed in the Crockett Cup, which was the NWA Tag Team Champions and the team that won the previous Crockett Cup. Mm-hmm. And that's Odinson and Kronos, the Immortals. Yeah. So this was like a long, like start to finish arc of the show, with this new monster tag team. And they ended up taking out and beating the Immortals, the number one tag team. So they're really establishing these Titans of Calamity. And I frankly think they're probably going to win the Crockett Cup. I wouldn't be shocked.
More than likely.
You know, they're an international talent that Corgan got from All Japan they really pushed them. I haven't seen a talent being pushed like this out the gates in quite some time. So very impressive performance. They looked great in the ring. Their presence is certainly there. And I really love the overall theme of what they were doing with this first episode with that.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. And that's the thing, is the Crockett Cup has always been something that Billy Corgan has kind of championed, and that was always the biggest driving force with the NWA. So for them to devote their main debut show on Comet almost exclusively to that tournament, that mm-hmm. shows you right there what it sets the tone for what they want to accomplish.
Yeah, so. because this is going to be the theme for multiple weeks ahead. They still have the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals to go, essentially. So there's still a long ways to go in this tournament. I would expect it to extend 3 to 4 weeks at least, if not longer. I know certainly in the second week they had featured it quite a bit as well. They pulled back a little bit on it. It wasn't such an emphasis. I was kind of split half and half on the second episode, but the first episode was very heavy into it. Also, first episode, there was a title switch. Giselle Shaw was brought in, and she went over Tiffany Nieves, who I remember from OVW. I think she had a little bit of run in Ring of Honor here and there. She was in a tag team with Layla Gray and OVW. I remember the baddies. They were part of a tag team then. But, she looked great in there, but Giselle Shaw went over, and that was a new championship title change on the women's television title side for the first episode of Power. So that really stood out as well. Lots of profiling of I wouldn't call it full-on vignettes or anything like that, but like little promos from talent that really wasn't familiar with. So there was a lot of that kind of like establishing certain names, gimmicks, you know, personas, and just really quick flash promos, basically, on the first couple episodes as well. So overall, I was impressed, man. Also, one thing to mention on the second episode, which aired last Saturday, was a couple things. There's a tag team that's in the Crockett Cup that I'm looking forward to seeing already based on the promo and the gimmick. It's a team called the Slime Balls. yeah, they're like the Nasty Boys meets the Rascals.
No shit.
It's fun. They had a promo on the second episode that was a hoot, man, big time. Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing them. They are working upcoming in the Crockett Cup against the Good Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow. So that'll be kind of cool. There was another Crockett Cup match on the second episode. A couple of them, but one stood out. The Colognes, they were in on the Crockett Cup as well. They lost, however, to a team called the Country Gentlemen, who had a very wacky gimmick for sure, with a manager that reminded me of Boss Hogg from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so in classic Southern form, for sure. And then there was another Crockett Cup match with the Southern Six. So we talked about Kerry Morton earlier. Yep. Kerry Morton is part of a faction in the NWA called the Southern Six, which is himself and Alex Taylor as a tag team. They're managed by Ricky Morton.
Oh, geez.
And then also with this team is the NWA champion, who I haven't seen much of, Thrill Billy Silas Mason. Reminded me a little bit of Braun Strowman in some ways. Thought he had some good presence, and he was doing some commentary during their match as well, so that was cool. So they established the NWA champion quite a bit on this episode. But they took on the team of the Wrestling Machines, which was Mike Mondo, who's a familiar name in the independent wrestling scene for decades, and Slade, who reminds me of Daniel Garcia mixed with Kurt Angle, would be a good way to put him.
That's actually a really good kind of hybrid right there. Description, because I would agree with that.
Yeah, he's got that technical wrestling game down. He wears the collegiate wrestling gear and all that jazz. So maybe throw a little bit of Josh Alexander in the mix of that too. I would say that would be a good mix for this guy Slade. But they're managed by Aaron Stevens, so they they're part of a faction called the Federation of Champions by Aaron Stevens, the Chess Maker is his new moniker. So
all right,
yeah, so. That happened on episode 2. Then the last match on episode 2 was Pretty Boy Smooth going over Trevor Murdoch in a relatively quick match, a lot quicker than I expected. And then lo and behold, at the end of the match or after the match, Trevor Murdoch. Kyle Davis is an interviewer for Power, and a lot after the matches, he usually comes in. This is kind of a trademark in the NWA. Comes in, interviews the wrestler that usually wins or maybe even loses after the match. And Kyle Davis came into the ring after this match, and Trevor Murdoch all of a sudden, out of nowhere, retired. Now, I don't know if this is an angle or what it is exactly, but I'm sure more to come on that one.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting kind of a cliffhanger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. So I was impressed, man, for these first two episodes. It's been a while since the NWA has caught my attention. And hey, NWA got my attention. So I'm sticking with it.
Hell yeah, man. That's what I like to hear. Yeah. And you know, one thing that that I've got to mention is, and again, we're not sponsored by them by any means. You mentioned that you saw the NWA on YouTube TV. Completely opposite end of the spectrum is Triller TV. And oh, yeah. A show that I happened to check out this week was the Insane Wrestling Revolution out of Monroe, Michigan. They had Insane WrestleFest 2. Man, I'll tell you, this was a fun watch. Looks like I saw a lot of familiar names. I've got the graphic up here on the screen. You know, you had Sam Beal defeating Jake Crist for their United States title in a ladder match. So, you know, that was pretty solid. They had a battle royal to get everything started. So, I mean, you know, a lot of names in there. And it was good to see varying match types on this show instead of just being singles match, tag team match. So yeah, shout out to the, to this promotion for giving, you know, a varied kind of lineup. Elsewhere, we did have Priscilla Kelly on the show, defeating Angel Metro. This is a pretty solid match there. You also had their world title match, Madman Fulton, which could be a familiar name to some, defeating Carlito. So they brought in Carlito to put over Madman Fulton. And I gotta say, man, this was interesting to say the very least.
Yeah, the mix of talent on here looks quite unique for sure. And you said, was this out of?
This was out of Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, man, if you pull up this this show on Triller TV, it's part of the Triller Plus package, and dude. You could see the concession stand from the hard cam.
Nice.
That's when you know you are working in an intimate environment.
You know,
these guys, they all went out there. They busted their asses. But I got to say, the main event was Isaiah Moore and Rich Swann, who also came out with Trey Miguel. So Trey couldn't compete. I wonder if this was due to some politics or whatever the situation was.
I believe he's injured as well. I believe. Okay. I remember
around they did make allusion to an injury. Yeah. But I didn't know if that was a shoot injury. So
yeah, you never know. I mean, it could be you know with the dynamic with TNA workers on independent shows sometimes. So
yeah
never
which know. Which makes it interesting because Rich Swann and Isaiah Moore ended up winning the tag team championships for this promotion.
Interesting.
So yeah, they picked up the win in that match. You did also have Jason Hotch picking up the win over Matt Riddle.
No shit. Wow. No shit. Over Riddle. Wow.
Riddle put over Jason Hotch.
Wow. So, huh. Interesting.
Very interesting stuff, man. But yeah, like I said, this was a, you know, a couple of hour show. Yeah. Super fun watch. You know, you had Rhino on the show as well. A lot of names. Rohit Raju was in the Battle Royal. Yeah, a bunch of people that you've probably seen in multiple different locations, mixed with some local talent, giving them some shine. They crowned a new women's champion, somebody that looked like she couldn't be a day over 18 years old. Yeah. So this is a wide variety of talent that you're getting on this show. It's not nearly as polished as, you know, some of the indies that we do here. But the fact is, everybody that went out there, they showed their heart, their determination, and their passion. and they brought it, you know. Some people who you could tell were pretty green, and then you had some people that were bringing them along. You had some local talent that obviously, in the case of Matt Riddle putting over Jason Hotch, I mean, you know, you had name talent putting over the talent for that show.
Yeah, sounds like a good mix of veteran talent, up-and-comers, established names, a little bit of everything. I even saw Jimmy Hart in there.
And there were special appearances by Jimmy Hart, by the Road Dog. You know, Angelina Love was there. It was just a fun watch, dude. It was indie wrestling at its finest.
As it should be. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'll give that a look. Yeah.
And one other quick hitter show that I saw on Triller was the 1FW Rumble in Rome. This episode, just like the last one, was 45 minutes. Super easy watch. Jay Lethal on the show, defeating Elijah Drago. Jay Lethal, man, still putting in the work, still looking great, killing it. So shout outs. And obviously 1FW is QT Marshall's promotion. And he was also on this show as he put over Andrade El Idolo. Very solid match. QT's great. Andrade is doing some of the best work that he's ever done. He's another guy that is everywhere, obviously appearing in AEW, appearing in New Japan Pro Wrestling and winning their global championship, and you know, appearing here for One Fall Wrestling.
Yeah, man. Not to stray into New Japan too much, but yeah, he had a hell of a match over the weekend.
Oh my gosh. Yota
Tsuji, man. Oh, wow. That was
the finish to that match was fucking awesome.
Oh boy. Yeah, that was probably the finish of the week, maybe of the month, maybe of 2026 so far for Angle. That one, that post shot, that DDT to the post.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, Andrade El Idolo picked up the Global Heavyweight Championship in New Japan over Yota Tsuji, and he pinned him following a DDT, not to the turnbuckle, to the ring post.
Yeah.
He fucking blasted him, too.
He certainly looked like it, and then his bump he took off of the post himself was like, Jesus Christ, what in the fuck happened? You know?
Yeah.
I think we both commented on, like, we had to rewind that, respectively to see what the fuck just happened. It was like, caught your attention for sure. And then some.
Absolutely, dude. It was wild. Rarely does a spot make me go, oh my fucking God, and rewind for just that spot.
Yeah.
That did it.
Yeah, it sure did, man. Yeah, that was something. Both shows of Dontaku, like I said, not to get off the path we're on, but both nights of Dontaku were pretty good this year for New Japan. So good stuff.
Absolutely. And New Japan World, $10 a month.
Yeah.
A little bit less than that. Totally worth it. For all the programming you're going to get from them too.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. I mean, I know New Japan has maybe seen better days, but it's still worth that $10. And they're really trying to add some different talent in the mix on top. And it's going to take a little time, but they are slowly developing the storyline with Will Ospreay and the new world champion. So there's that going on. There's a lot of stuff that's just slowly coming to the fold in New Japan, and I'm liking where it's going. So
absolutely, man. And you know what? Just turning attention to another show that you checked out, Jed. Let's talk about a bit about OVW and what was a hit for you this week?
Once again, I mean, I know last week we were both kind of ranting and raving about Stephen Steele. His role in the show, he cut a really good promo. Just near the open of the show, just a singular promo, comes in the ring, cuts his promo, directing it about his, you know, how he's getting himself in shape, how he's doing this, how he's doing that, how he's got the passion, crowd's hot for him. Really directing most of the promo near the end towards Cal Hero. So there's definitely going to be a Cal Hero Steven Steele match probably within the next few weeks, maybe at the Collision Course event in a few weeks. He also costed Cal Hero the match against Anthony Tolatelli near the top of this card as well. And that was probably the match of the night. That was a very, very good match on this show. That really stood out for me. The storyline with TW3 as the Sheep with Icon Lee is continuing on, as one would imagine, where he's just like basically a slave to Icon Lee. That's continuing on. Those are really the things that stood out to me on the show. There was a decent women's three-way match to kick off the show as well. But by and large, that was kind of the stuff that really caught my attention. They had a promo at the end of the show with Tony Evans that they're setting something up with him for the U.S. title coming up on Collision Course as well with, I can't remember, the Star Rider, I think his name is. So there's some talk of maybe Star Rider losing his mask. So I think they're maybe setting up something on that end for that one. So, yeah, that was basically it for OVW this week. Nothing really out of the too wild and crazy vernacular, but once again, Steven Steele, the star of the show. Once again,
absolutely, man, absolutely. And well, let's just get right to it. Our main event for the evening. Let's talk about Juggalo Championship Wrestling, JCW Lunacy. Yeah. Ugh, buddy. Yeah, this show. I gotta say, man. Since you've gotten me hip to JCW, it's been a fun watch every single fucking week. Shout out to Violent J. Shout out to Vince Russo. Shout out to their talent that they've got over there. They're firing on all cylinders. It's not about a crazy work rate in a match. Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, selling 8 billion products. It's just a fun wrestling show.
Yeah,
and that's what it should be about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just simply, it's engaging. It hooks you. It's kind of the pace of the show to me just never lets up. That's why I like it. Yes. Particularly, it's just like, okay, boom, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. That's Russo formula. He's really hit something with the connection with JCW. To me, the characters are just like, there was an advertisement of sorts on the show where they were like kind of promoting these things like outrageous characters, wild situations, you know, never, what do you can expect from that? You know, they were really putting that type of vibe out even in like an advertisement for their own products. So they are self-aware of what they're doing for sure. And it's good, man. It's, lots of wacky and always like you end one segment like kind of like, oh wow, that just fucking happened, and then they cut away to something else and here we go again, here's another one to just one up the segment prior, you know.
Hell yeah, man. And you know, I think the thing that makes it the most fun for me is, you know, the hyperbolic characters that we get. Like the fucking Green Phantom, you know, 40 Winks. Obviously Luigi Primo. Dude, Beekeeper Mike.
Beekeeper Mike. Yeah, the man of 10,000 gimmicks.
Gosh, Fit Mike doing his thing.
Every fucking time this guy comes out with a different gimmick, and it's just more outlandish than the last one. It's great, man.
And you got the crowd was crazy on this show, man. That's one thing that we didn't mention is these fans are arguably the most present fans that I've seen in an independent wrestling show in quite some time. And, you know, obviously we saw the things at Stranglemania. I've seen the crowds that they've had, you know, in Arizona for this round of TV tapings. Give me more. These fans are fucking great, and they're just as much a part of the action as the wrestlers and the other talent.
They, no question about it, are. Yeah. more than ever, these fans, these juggalos, they are not only into ICP, obviously, but they're into all of these characters from Big Vito. Who would have thought that Big Vito, of all people, the guy from WCW days and WWE that dressed up as a crossdresser at one point, even, I think. Here he is playing this mafioso guy, just over the fucking top to the max.
And it's great.
It's great, man. He is perfect for the role. I never thought I would say Vito LaGrasso is like a standout star in a company, but he is, you know. His whole persona and this whole storyline with these guys that he has, like the family members and the one guy with going with the prostitutes, and then the Brothers of Funstruction and the Brothers Sassoni as their other alternate personas there. I think they were the guys that took out the other dude at the end of this episode of Vito's. I think that's the vibe they're getting.
Yeah.
They're going with that.
I think they're
trying to do the hits on them, you know, before they get hit, you know, essentially. Right. So, but yeah, the crowd during the segment with Vince Russo, Matt Cross, and Shane Mercer was like nuclear. I thought
the
fucking place was gonna start rioting damn near for just Russo riling up these juggalo fans, man. They were throwing shit endlessly in the ring. It was just like a nonstop fucking trash fest, man.
I've got to interject too. I mean, dare I say the juggalos have some of the best aim in professional wrestling also. Well, holy shit. Like so many times were people actually hit by the garbage thrown into the ring. Usually, you know, it's totally far away from people, but like they fucking decked Russo a couple of times. It was sure awesome. Did.
Well, and he was egging him on like a one of a bitch too. I mean, he was saying, bring it on. You're missing me.
Russo is killing it too.
Yeah, man. I never thought in 2026 I would be saying, not only am I impressed by Vince Russo's booking, but his characterization on the show. It's definitely working for me much better than it ever did for me, like in WCW or anything of that nature. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think that realistically I think it is the juxtaposition of Russo and the juggalos and everything that they've got going on over there that it doesn't look like it would fit. But it fucking does, because it's such a polar opposite.
Yeah, and it's niche. It's niche. Yes. It's not everybody that are fans of wrestling may not necessarily be into this. Like the traditional wrestling fans certainly are going to still be like, fuck Vince Russo.
Jim Cornette
is going to have a fucking shit fit if he'd ever watch DCW, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, my God. But
for teach your own, man. I just think of it's just a perfect combination. This is what Vince Russo should have done from the get-go, was cater to this type of audience, like kind of a younger audience that are kind of like a little bit eccentric and are, you know, a little bit off the grain a little bit. That's what this product is, you know.
You say that as you're doing a podcast wearing a fucking mask.
Exactly. That point is that. Case in point. Yeah. One other thing on this show, man, the World Tag Title match with Choppa City and Willie Mack and Too Tough Tony. And the fire. The
fucking fire fist, man.
Oh, my God. The guy's head was on fire from Choppa City.
Unreal, dude. That was one hell of a visual.
It was. Yeah, it was. That was a spectacle.
That was great.
Yeah, good stuff. Good heat also from Choppa City near the end of the match when they took the belts and went off of them. So to be continued on that whole storyline for sure.
I do love the promos from Violent J and Vince Russo that are the vignette style promos that they just kind of splice in.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, obviously you have Violent J talking to the Green Phantom after he loses again to Mosh Pit Mike or Beekeeper Mike, after the crowd was chanting for bees, yep. of course. And, you know, just the wittiness of some of the shit that they say is awesome. Yeah, it's so good.
It works.
It's so good because it's not overly scripted, and it feels very organic, which is a great change of pace in 2026 pro wrestling.
Yep. I feel like it's more like a talking points thing, not so much like you're reading from a script, which is always nice to just have that kind of, like you said, like an organic feel. It's naturally, when they're having discussions and things like that, it's not this kind of like hollow kind of like cardboard kind of feel to it. No, it's like, it's goofy. It's like they're fucking swearing a little bit and they're off cuff and they're, you know, they're just bullshitting around kind of. And it comes off that way that it's just like, oh, this is just like some wacky fucking shit that like nobody's really taken seriously. And they shouldn't take, even the writing themselves or the Russo, and they shouldn't be taking this seriously. And they certainly aren't.
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't even say so much that they're taking it seriously or not taking it seriously, but they're willing to not take themselves too seriously.
Yes.
And they're not afraid to laugh or to joke at their own expense. Absolutely. Which that makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, that's going to endear fans to those characters.
Exactly.
Because they're showing human sides.
Mm-hmm. You name it. Yep, for sure. That hits the nail on the head for sure.
You know, obviously, we talked about him in so many other shows, but our boy Kerry Morton was on this show again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wrestling, getting all riled up, man. Once again, getting in the mix.
Yep.
Didn't he wrestle Nemeth? Was it Nemeth?
No, he wrestled Jeeves.
Oh, Jeeves, that's right.
Part of the thing was if Kerry Morton beats Jeeves, then he gets to face EC3.
That's right.
That's going to be setting up that match. Yep. Kerry Morton, EC3.
Yep.
Fuck it. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm down. I think it'll be fun.
And speaking of matches that, you know, prior to watching JCW that I never thought that I would look forward to, not a slight on anybody involved, but I just never thought that it would be a match. Caleb Konley and Nick Nemeth.
Yeah.
Went out there and they had their, you know, their deciding fall. They've been doing this, you know, best of three. Yeah. So, Caleb Konley picks up the win over Nick Nemeth, who does the J-O-B and J-C-Dub.
I know, right? I was a little bit surprised by that finish. Yeah, I did not expect it. I thought that kind of go the other way around, you know, and I'm definitely interested to see where they're going with this Russo plan of the team of future endeavors.
They gave us a hint right up here on the on the episode graphic.
Yeah.
And they even showed two people.
Yeah. There like, you go.
How the fuck did we not see this shit coming?
Right. but to actually like have their name as future endeavors.
Future endeavors.
Oh man, only Russo would do that shit.
Dude, I love it.
It's good. Dude, it's all good.
Independent pro wrestling in 2026, you gotta love it. There's so much of it. So I definitely recommend that wherever you are, seek it out, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Triller, whether you watch it on YouTube TV or, you know, however you see your shit.
Absolutely.
Check out independent wrestling, support independent wrestling, and, like what I said last week on this show, if you are affiliated with an independent promotion, if you are an independent wrestler yourself, if you are a content creator and want to collab, feel free, reach out right there along the bottom. Our social media is wide open. I would love to collab. And I know Jed would love to collab with you as well.
Yeah.
So obviously, speaking of that, let's just do some quick final thoughts. Jed, how can people follow you? Tell us about your YouTube channel, all that kind of fun shit.
Yeah, man. Wrestling Rants, baby, on YouTube. Super Red Jed. Look for me on there. I'm just kind of getting a plan together sometime this month to start some new rants on the channel and some new little features. So be on the lookout for that. And in the meantime, check out random, like the last two to three years of just clips from shows. But then prior to that, in 2023, I was very heavy into almost daily time doing rants. So kind of check them out if you want. Take a look back at some history back on the channel and be looking for new content coming down the pipeline soon on Wrestling Rants, baby.
Hell yeah, man. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. Well, Jed, I don't know about you, man, but I got some more indie wrestling to watch. So let's go ahead and hit this.
Let's do it, man. Indy on, brother.
Until next time, guys, we will see you then.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys. Tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.
Another good one, bro.